your Bibles, please, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. And I'll say a word here in a moment and tell you what I believe God's laid on my heart. I feel that God would have me for several weeks now. Brother Ricky in the Sunday School Assembly has had people sharing their testimonies. And so I'm going to be sharing something for the next few weeks on Sunday morning, kind of along a general theme of so great salvation. Paul writes, and he said, in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I don't know if we appreciate all we ought to, what it means to be born again by the grace of God, what Christ did for us and how he blessed us and forgave us of all our sin, placed us as adult sons in his body, and all the benefits and blessings that go along with that. Now, as I was thinking about this theme, and Brother Rick has been having people sharing their testimony about their salvation experience and some special things that God's done in their life, God began to speak to my heart. So I want to, for the next several Sunday mornings, share with you a series that I'm going to entitle, So Great Salvation. Now, in that regard, I want to remind you that salvation, while it is an experience, salvation is a person. The Bible said, therefore, if any man hath Christ, he's a new creature. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not adhering to a group of doctrinal teachings. It is a person. And so you say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, la-di-da. I believe hell will be full of Baptists. Everybody say amen. I believe hell will be full of Catholics and folk in the Assembly of God, Church of God, and all the organized religion. That I'm glad there'll be a lot of Baptists in heaven. Say amen. And there'll be a lot of Methodists and Assembly of God and all the other different denominations as well. But not because you're a Baptist and not because you're a Methodist and not because you're a member of a Church of God, but because Jesus Christ lives in your heart. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The difference between what we believe and what the rest of all of quote-unquote religion believes is that salvation is in one person. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. It is Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, I believe that. I do not believe there are a lot of different ways of people going to heaven. Why, you say, well, Brother Billy, there are a lot of people in other groups that are very, very sincere. Well, I understand that. But Paul had a burden for Israel. And he said this, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge. And so people can be very zealous. They can be very sincere and sincerely wrong. The only way to go to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to get brainwashed. I don't want you to get used to the dark. I don't want you to get to where you think there may be, you know, might be some possibility that somebody else is going to go to heaven. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only hope of heaven. It is in him. So it's imperative that you and I know him. It's also imperative that he knows us. That he knows us. And so in that regard, I want to share with you something God's laid on my heart. I really didn't expect to do this morning but anyhow, this is what God laid on my heart. In John chapter number 8, I call your attention to this wonderful passage of Scripture. And notice what it says as Jesus begins in verse number 20. Now, I'm going to read two or three passages of Scripture, and I'll read quite a few verses, but I'll be through and get you out of here right around 12 o'clock, if it's the Lord's will, so we can all go eat lunch together. John chapter 8, look at verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. I cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. And Jesus said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. It's imperative that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Ye shall die in your sins. Not because they were Jews, not because they were in the synagogue or the temple, not because of whether they smoked cigarettes or didn't smoke cigarettes, or if they chewed or didn't chew, not because if they wear long skirts or short skirts, not because they had long hair, short hair. They were going to die and go to hell because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. You understand that? They're going to go to hell because they didn't believe in Jesus. Then verse number 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Notice that little phrase, verse 25, who art thou? Wouldn't it be something to be involved in a religious activity and not know who Jesus was? Wouldn't it be something to be a Baptist and not know who Jesus is? Wouldn't it be something to be a member of a church and having been baptized, but not have a personal relationship with Jesus? Brad sang that song a while ago and about being with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and that's what it's all about. But now, let me get you to turn over a little further to chapter number 12. Chapter number 12 in the book of John. Notice in chapter number 12, I begin reading in this passage of Scripture at verse number 30. John chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. That is the Messiah. Christ is going to be reign and rule forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Notice the last phrase, who is this Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our heart. I pray, blessed Lord Jesus, that God, you give a fresh anointing upon me this morning. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and Sister Louise and Brother Ricky. Thank you, our Father, for the great singing of the congregation. And I pray, our Father, right now that every boy and girl, every man and woman in this building as they leave would know Jesus, not historically, but personally. I pray, our Father, that every friend in the internet audience and in the radio audience would know Jesus Christ personally. They would know that he is their Savior and Lord. And I pray now, God, for a touch upon me. Help me to preach. God, this may be the last opportunity I'll have to preach. It may certainly be the last opportunity that many in the sound of my voice can hear the gospel. I pray, God, it shall be plain, and we'll thank you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad if somebody asks you, are you saved, that many of you understand exactly what that means. I talk to people from time to time and I say, are you a Christian? Are you saved by the grace of God? And they'll begin to tell me what church they attend. That's not salvation. I have had people, when I say something to them about, are you born again by the grace of God? They'll say, oh yeah, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. But baptism is not salvation. Baptism is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time in your life when you came to know him. And here in this passage of Scripture, the question is asked is, who is Jesus? Well, throughout history, that question has been asked. It's not really important to know who I am or a lot of other things to know who other people are. But it is imperative that you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I remember when Moses came out from the burning bush and God sent him back in to Egypt to lead his children out. He came before Pharaoh and he said, the Lord God of Israel has sent me here to lead the people out. And Pharaoh asked this question, well, who is the Lord God that I should obey him? Well, who is Jesus that he should be important in your life, in my life? Who is Jesus historically? Who is he biblically? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that answers questions answered over and over again. There are all time type of programs on TV and everywhere else trying to talk about the historical Jesus and who Jesus is. But I want to remind you, our final authority on any subject is the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us in the Word of God in several different ways. I think as you go through, you listen to the testimony of God himself recorded in the Word of God. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, a body was created for him. In a virgin's womb, there was a body. And he says, "You created me a body, made me a body." But Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He's always been. He did not have a beginning. He does not have an end, as we find in the book of Hebrews. He is eternal God. He is co-equal and co-eternal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always been. Before there was ever anything, they've always been there. But in time, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he was spoken to by his heavenly Father while in this earth in a human body. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The child, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born to Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And he was clothed in human flesh. But the Son was the eternal Son of God in that body. The eternal Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been. He didn't begin at Bethlehem. He's always been. But not only do when the Father identifies the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's identified by the apostles. The apostle Peter, for instance, the Lord asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" He had some interest in knowing what people believed about him, who he was. And he had a purpose in asking that question. And the apostle Peter said, "Well, some people say you're Elias or one of the other prophets." He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed that thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one prophesied throughout all the Old Testament. You remember what he told the Pharisees? He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You see, they felt like because they knew the Bible or the Old Testament scriptures, because they adhered to the Old Testament scriptures, because they ordered their life by that, that they'd go to heaven. Let me say this to you. You don't go to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. You don't go to heaven by keeping the law. Now, why is that? Because the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but they're all dead in trespasses and sin. Those who are sinners are dead in trespasses and sin, dead already. And then it tells us in the book of Galatians, there was never a law given that could give life. You see, if you could try to keep all the law, but you're dead spiritually. And you can keep it physically, you can keep it mentally, but you can't keep it spiritually because you're spiritually dead. And in order to be saved, you got to be born again, you got to have new life. You got to become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came, he said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should have everlasting life." He said that the word of God that you hath he quickened in the book of Ephesians. You hath he quickened, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so if you're saved this morning, something happened to you. You were dead spiritually, but you were made alive. And the Apostle Peter recognized that Jesus Christ was that promised Messiah. He was the one to come that was going to give everlasting life. He was the Son of God. But even the demons know who he is. As you look through the Bible and you'll read, you'll find on one occasion that he confronted a man who was possessed of the demon. And the demon cried out in Mark chapter 1, verse 24 and said, "Thou art the Holy One of God." The Holy One of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. He's absolutely sinless. You see, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The payment on sin is death. Now, how many times do you have to sin to be a sinner? One. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in this building, every person in the sound of my voice was born into sin. The Bible said, "Whereas by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned." Now, either the Bible is true or it's a lie, but it's true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There's none righteous. No, not one, not one. Everybody sinned. And the demons looked at Jesus and said, He's the only one never sinned. He is the Holy One of God. He's absolutely sinless. They couldn't say that about me. Couldn't say that about you. Now I want to show you something amazing. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The payment on sin is death. If you work a job, they pay you a wage. They don't give you any money. You earn it. You deserve it. And so when the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, it's simply saying because of our sin, we deserve or we've earned death. Death comes as a wage. It comes as a result of sin. But listen to this. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he died for us. Everybody else who's ever died a death died because of their own personal sin. That's why death came into the world. Death came into the world, sin came into the world, death came into the world, and death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. That's just a natural consequence. But Jesus lived all of his life and never sinned. Yet on that cross, he died. Now, why did he die? No sin. Why? He was paying a debt that was not his own. Jesus Christ on that cross bore all my sin and all your sin in his own body on the tree. Jesus died to save sinners. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. He paid our sin debt, and thank the Lord for that. Now notice something else. Not only do the apostles identify him and God the Father and even demons, but the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself in several different ways. Jesus said, I am the bright morning star. I'm the door. I'm the bread. I'm the vine. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ identified himself in many different ways as to who he was. He said this, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John said he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is that. But now, you know what? I like what old brother Raymond Williams said one time when he came to preach for us. He said, you know what? We're just tater and mater type people. And I have enjoyed hearing the testimonies of God's people on Sunday morning in our Sunday school assembly. And I thought it might be a good idea if we just look at the Bible and ask some people in the Bible who Jesus is, and I'll do it quickly. But will you turn back with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Look in Luke, chapter number 19, and notice what it says in this passage of Scripture as we look together. Here's a story. It's a great story. It's a story about a man named Zacchaeus. He was a publican, or he was a tax collector. And it says in chapter number 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because of his little stature. And he ran before him, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, watch this, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, watch the story. It says Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to know who he was. Who did he find out he was? Well, let's just ask him. We'll save some time. We got to hurry along and ask him. Here's a man who was embittered. He was rich, but he had no friends. Nobody liked him. Everybody hated him. But he heard Jesus was passing by. God, the Holy Ghost did a work in his heart. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, by the way, they're going to lay out palm branches. They're going to say, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they're going to recognize him as king. But Jesus comes to the tree right where that man's at. He stops. He looks up at the tree and calls him by name. Thousands of people. And Jesus knew his name. I want to tell you something. Probably 300 or so in here this morning, close to that. But Jesus knows your name. Thousands of people in the radio audience, but Jesus knows your name. Zacchaeus, could I ask you a question? The Bible says that salvation came to your house. By the way, salvation didn't come because he was giving away or paying back what he owed. It came because the Bible said he received him joyfully. And then it says that he said, "Lord." Bible said, no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God's already in his life before he started giving his money away. And when you get saved, it does affect your pocketbook. Everybody say, amen. Amen. It does affect your pocketbook. But he'd already had something effectively to take place in his life. He'd already believed on him, received him, and he already confessed him as Lord. If you believe in your heart, believe in your heart. If you believe in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus, and that's exactly what he did, Lord, he confessed. He believed and he confessed. He believed it with all of his heart. Salvation came. Let's go to his house. Go to his house and knock on the door and say, "Zacchaeus, could we ask you a question?" Here we are down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning. We read in the Bible where it says you want to find out who Jesus was. Could you tell us who Jesus is? Here's what Zacchaeus said, tell us. He said, "There are a lot of things I can tell you. I've experienced him so many wonderful ways. I knew him as Savior, knew him as Lord. But if I'd say one thing to you about Jesus, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. He's going to go eat dinner with a man that everybody knew was a sinner. Jesus has got time for sinners. Don't get so busy as a church, as a people, that we don't have time for sinners. Get time for sinners. Take time to win soul for Christ. Take time to witness. He's somebody who takes time for sinners. And Jesus said, I've got one purpose. It was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants to save you this morning. You don't have to talk him into it. He's come to seek and to save. Jesus is the Savior. And Zacchaeus would say to you this morning, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. Let me show you something else. Look a little further, if you will, please. Turn back in the Gospel of John to chapter number 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. Let's ask somebody else about who he is. In John chapter 4, very familiar story. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his journey. And the Bible makes a kind of an interesting statement. It said, became weary with his journey. And notice what it says in chapter number 4 at verse number 6. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. And the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, if you go on a little bit further, you'll find out that she receives that living water. God does a wonderful work. The Lord Jesus does a wonderful work in her life. She leaves her water pot. She runs back into the town. In a few minutes, she comes back with a great host of other people. She goes and gives her testimony. She said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. In this story, this woman's been married 5 times. She's not married now. She's just living with somebody. But God does a work. The Lord Jesus Christ does a work. And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you could have water that you'd never thirst again. And she said, I want that water. I believe she got that water. Let's go to her house. Let's knock on her door and ask the woman at the well who Jesus is. And she'd come to the door and you'd see a woman. Boy, she'd be radiant and happy and rejoicing because she met Jesus. And I'd say, ma'am, could you tell us down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church who Jesus is? And she said, there's a lot of things I could tell you about him. He's a miracle worker. He's a marvelous, he's a wonderful friend. But I just say this to you this morning. I can tell you who Jesus is. He's somebody who knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. He told me all things that ever I did. Now, all we've got written in the Bible is she's married 5 times.
He told her more than that, and it wasn't none of your business. He told her everything she'd ever done. And what happened is when he confronted her about her sin, she was under conviction. And she said, I need that water. I need that water. I need to have forgiveness. And she got it. And I want to tell you something. You said, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. I don't know. I don't need to know. But I know somebody who knows everything you've ever done, every thought, every sin. And Jesus is the one who knows all about your sin, and he loves you anyway. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loved you before you ever committed a sin. He loved you through all your disobedience and all your sin of all your life. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows it, but he loves you anyway. That's why he came to die. And he wants to save you this morning. Look a little bit further in chapter number 5, if you will, please. In chapter number 5, kind of a lengthy passage of scripture, but I won't take time to read it all. But here's a man who's laid here, and he is lame, been lame 38 years. And it says in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sirs, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down. Here's a man who's laying here. They bring him every day. And somehow or another, something strange happens. The water begins to bubble, begins to churn, and an angel comes down from heaven. And the first one gets in, gets healed. But he can't get in. And he makes a statement here. He said, while I'm trying to get in, he said, everybody gets in front of me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He's made whole. And he went on his way, rejoicing, the Bible said, praising God and rejoicing for what he did. They questioned him about who did this and what did this. He didn't even know who Jesus was to start with. But then Jesus came back and talked to him. And then the Bible says in verse number 18 that he went back and he told him, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Now, who is this man? Let's go ask this man. 38 years he lay lame at the pool. 38 years he couldn't get in. 38 years everybody got in front of him. What a life of frustration. Seeing other people healed and leaving and rejoicing. And then he couldn't get in. And Jesus comes by. And Jesus said, well, you may be made whole. And he said, I can't. I don't have anybody to help me. Let's knock on his door. Ask him a question. Sir, can you tell us who Jesus is? Here's what he'd say to us. Oh, he'd say, Brother Billy, there's a lot of things I can tell you about it. He healed me. Boy, I've enjoyed my healing. I've rejoiced, and we've had a great time. Everything's been wonderful. And my family, everything's been different since I met Jesus. But he said, if I had to tell you one thing about him, here's what it would be. He'll help you when nobody else can. He said, I had no man to help me. You say, Brother Billy, I've tried everything. He can help you when nobody else can. He will help you when nobody else can. I got news for you. He can meet the need of your life, whatever you need. Jesus is the one who can meet every need of your life. He can help you when nobody else can or will. Jesus can help you. Jesus is the one who knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. Jesus is the one who's got time for sinners. But when you look over in chapter number 9, in this same Gospel of John. And look in chapter number 9, and we begin here in chapter number 9, verse number 21. Here's a wonderful story. But I want to just pick out one little phrase and read it to you. This man who's blind, Jesus heals him. And they drill him and talk to his mom and daddy. Won't know who it was that did this, that, and the other. And finally, the mom and daddy said, well, he's of age, you go ask him. And here's what the man says. He doesn't know anything about the historical Jesus. But he says this in verse number 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. They're trying to intimidate him about Jesus. Here's what he said. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see. He said this. Let's go to his house. Been blind all of his life, never has seen. But Jesus came by that way. And he didn't know much about the historical Jesus, but he knew the reality of Jesus. And I knocked on his door and I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Who is Jesus? The Bible says you met him. He did something special for you. He said, oh, Brother Billy, here's what I tell you. He said, I could tell you so many wonderful things. He's a Savior. He's Lord. He's Creator. He's the soon coming King. But I will tell you this. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. He's somebody that if he ever touches you, you'll know it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to wonder whether you're saved or not. These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't have to wonder whether you're saved or not. If you've been saved, you know it. You know it. God's Holy Spirit's inside of you. You've been born again by the grace of God. If He's ever touched you, you know it. If He's ever come inside of you, forgiven your sin, you know it. Jesus is somebody that if He ever touches you, you'll know it. Let me just hasten and give you a couple of others and I'm through. The Apostle Paul, God used him in a mighty way. But in the book of Acts in chapter number 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Apostle Paul says this, at the end of his life, at the close of his life, all those he led to the Lord, all of his friends had left him. He was locked up in prison. He was going to be put to death. And he makes this statement. He said, all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Paul, you wrote 13 books in this Bible. We're down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. Could you tell us who Jesus is? I know it's all in here. I know we read it. The Holy Spirit of God would reveal to us who Jesus really is. He said, Brother Bill, I could tell you lots of things. I could tell you that He loved us before the foundation of the world. I could tell you that He loved the church so much He died for it. I can so many things I could tell you. But if I could say this one thing, He's somebody who never, ever will forsake you. He'll be with you when everybody else leaves. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. He's never left me. He's never failed me. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you know this one thing. He'll never, ever leave you. He'll go with you through whatever you have to face. He's somebody who'll never leave you. Then one last Bible character. In the book of Acts, there's a man by the name of Stephen. He gave a great testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that because of that, the Bible said they railed on him and they stoned him, gnashed on him with their teeth, and then they stoned him to death. And Stephen did exactly what Jesus did. While those men were killing Stephen, he knelt down and he looked up into heaven and he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Same thing Jesus did on the cross. He's that much like Christ. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way. But the Bible says that when he knelt down, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God in heaven. Now, that is significant because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that when he had offered up himself as a sacrifice and at the resurrection, when he took the blood up and put it on the mercy seat in heaven, the Bible said he had sat down. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But yet Stephen didn't see him sitting down. He saw him standing up. I want to go to Stephen's house and I knock on the door and I say, Stephen, could I ask you a question? And he said, certainly. I said, we're down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church and we've been going through the Bible. We've been asking different people who Jesus is. Can you tell me who Jesus is? Oh, I want to tell you, Brother Billy, He's a faithful, He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's a wonderful Savior. But if I had to tell you one thing, he said, when I, at the end of my life, was being stoned to death, and when my spirit left my body, I'd just like to tell you that the first one to greet you when you go through the gate of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him standing. You see, your mother wants you saved. Your daddy wants you saved if he's saved. Your family members, the preacher, this church wants you saved. But there's nobody in the world that desires for you to trust Christ and be saved and have all your sins forgiven as much as Jesus. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's nobody in heaven, not your grandma, not your mama, not your daddy. There's nobody in heaven that wants you there as much as Jesus does. He loves you. And I am convinced with all of my heart that when you enter the gate of glory, the first one to welcome you home will be the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you to welcome you home. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's somebody who's got time for sinners. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one who knows all about your sin, but He loves you anyway. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one, my dear friend, who will help you when nobody else can. He's the one, if He ever touches you, you'll know it. He's the one that made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the first one to greet you when you go through the gate. But He's also this one. He's the one who will save whosoever shall call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's not one person in hell today who realized they were lost and realized they need a Savior and the Spirit of God dealing with them who called on Him out of a believing heart that's not going to be in heaven for all eternity. Not one. Because He said, I'll save whosoever will. Anybody, any man, woman, boy, girl, if they'll call on the name of Jesus, He'll save them, give them everlasting life. I have intentionally tried not to let my preaching get it in the way of the message this morning. Because it makes no difference if you know me. It makes no difference if you're a member of this church or anybody else's church. But if you don't know Jesus and you've never trusted Him, you'll be in hell for all eternity. Do you know Him?